Hey, it's Loveline. We're running a little late for our usual 10-second top of the hour break. So here it is, and we'll be back in 10 seconds.
This is Loveline on
radio station.
KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.
The world famous K-Rock.
Maybe I'll come show some support, no. Unlike my illustrious partner.
You stay home, Drew. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That be Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Carl Stevenson is here. Also, Squeaky G from Forest for the Trees. And if you missed the conversation at the top of the show, Carl produced Beck's first album. And maybe even more than produce, right? Would you say, Carl?
A little songwriting in there, too.
Right. And, you know, when you hear Forest for the Trees, you can hear that coming through pretty clearly. But anyway, Forest for the Trees, finished down Forest for the Trees, what was it, 94 or something like that?
Yeah, approximately.
And it sort of stayed shelf for a while, and Carl had a little difficulty and had to be hospitalized, worked out a few things, got on the right meds, and now he's back. He's got his fiddle, and he's ready to do the second album. They let you bring your fiddle into the hospital?
Yep.
Oh, they do?
They do. I wrote a couple songs in there.
How long were you in for?
I was in there for like 4 weeks.
Was it miserable, or were you happy to be in there after what you'd been through?
Well, it was pretty nice. They had pretty good hospital food.
Oh, really?
For a change, yeah.
Jeez, could you imagine?
I was eating burgers, fried chicken.
Why is it your doctor tells you to stay away from all the junk they feed you once you get in the hospital?
I know.
And what is that?
That's been a long-standing issue. Most hospitals have sort of...
Hospitals and schools, you'll die if you stay. You know, yeah. Like if you flunked enough grades, I think you would just, your arteries would just collapse.
You wouldn't survive.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if they ever have a hospital on an airplane, I think that's it. I think the worst possible food could be if they had some sort of infirmary at a school that was on a plane, in a prison plane.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're going to hear something else from Forest for the Trees.
It's not beatboxing.
Yeah, you're not going to beatbox.
No, I'm not going to beatbox.
All right. I may do a little beatboxing
myself.
Yeah,
it'd be cool. We'll just have a whole session of beatboxing going on in here.
Carl, you're going to play? You're not going to play any more fiddle? He is?
Mm-hmm.
He is not.
I will if you want me to.
Yeah, I'd like you to.
All right. We'll just make something up out of the blue.
And Squeaky, you can do a little more beatboxing to Carl's fiddle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But we're going to hear something that's a little more produced, actually. All right, we'll do that. This is, you got it queued up there, Engineer Brett? Engineer Mike is on some sort of hunger fast or something. I don't know. He's holding out. It's funny, we haven't missed him. But he's home, and we got Engineer Brett sitting in for Engineer Mike, and it's a long story. But anyway, this one is from Forest for the Trees off of the... off of the same named album, and it's called Planet Unknown.
Transition of the mind.
That'd be Planet Unknown from Forest for the Trees. And Carl Stevenson and Squeaky G are both here representing for that band. And they really got to dump the rest of the band because they did a little... Squeaky did a little boombox or beatbox. he did a little mouth solo. I wish I could get one of those once in a while. And Carl was playing on the fiddle. And I'll tell you, that was it. He didn't need any more instruments. You're going to play a little something else? You want to... I'll
take some calls for you.
We'll take some calls.
Yeah. Let's talk
okay,
to some
because Carl's poised with the fiddle there. But you don't have to put it away. You can just, you just keep it there.
Right.
Stay ready. You never know.
Carl's always ready.
Kathy.
Hi.
Hey, you're 34.
Yes, I am. How is everyone?
Good.
We're doing fine.
I have to tell you that Dr. Drew and Adam, you are just the kings of radio.
Oh,
thank you.
And we saw you on the Gail King show the other morning.
Oh, they aired that.
I never saw that.
You never saw that?
No.
We've got a bunch of stuff.
No.
We've a whole bunch of stuff we've filmed that's not aired.
You know you're a big star when you're on some show and you don't even care.
I don't want Adam to get upset, but Adam, you look like a convict, and Dr. Drew looked like your lawyer.
Yeah. I know. If you didn't have the sound up, you'd think he was trying to get me off of some trumped-up charges.
I didn't know if that was your shirt that you bought with the gift certificate Dr. Drew got you for Christmas, your Armani
yes,
shirt.
It was.
No.
I knew it.
Wasn't it?
Oh, was it a denim shirt?
Yes.
Yeah. It was at 6 in the morning. We both remember that? Oh. It was a horrible, another one of our misadventures.
Here's the problem with anything we do that's like 6 in the morning is we do the show every night.
The radio
so
show.
So I go to bed at 1:32. And then if you got to be somewhere at 6:30 and it's across town, you got to be up at like 5:15.
Uh-huh.
And I was a mess.
Well,
yeah, we weren't very happy that morning.
Oh, well, you looked great, though. Well,
I thought I was extra special funny, though, wasn't I?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, yes. They needed more of you on that show.
Thank
well, that's
you for that.
Good.
Uh-huh.
What is that,
Gail? That gynecologist attacked me for bringing up raloxifene.
There's nothing more exciting than seeing Drew being attacked by a gynecologist for bringing up some medication. Once in a while, other doctors feel a little bit threatened by Drew because he's making a bunch of money and he's being successful and all the chicks love him and he's got his syndicated shows and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they get some Drew wannabe on there and
there
Drew brings up a medication and they get a little bent out of shape because they did just as much schooling as Drew did, but they're not getting as much recognition.
She was right. Well, that's just what I didn't hear the question clearly, and it was something about, I guess, about hot flash. And we were with people that don't want to take estrogens, and and I didn't hear the hot flash part. I was just talking about estrogens that don't people when people don't want to take it. And there's a new estrogen equivalent called raloxifene.
For all our listeners that are entering menopause
yes,
now,
exactly. Sure. They have breast cancer.
Hey, what is that Gail King show on?
Here it's on at 10, but I see it when I get off of work. It's like at 4:30 or 5 in the morning.
No,
wow,
wow.
What do you do?
Night
I
shift.
Test drive cars.
You do what?
I test drive cars.
Test drive cars.
Really?
Will they drive them around the clock or something?
They are driven around the clock, 24 hours a day.
And you're just one of the drivers.
Just one of the
drivers. How do you get into the car while it's moving?
Huh?
Do you have to get in while it's moving?
You just get ready and jump.
Really? You test drive cars?
Yeah.
What car do you drive?
I work for Nissan. And so there's many, many cars we test drive competitors' cars.
Do you just go around in an oval?
Yeah, there is an oval, and there's many other little.
I always thought that was just some marketing scam that they just had, took pictures out in the salt.
I thought they just put like a brick on the accelerator and they wired the wheel at the right angle and they let it go around the track.
You would be amazed at all the things that they do.
And what
How do you
else?
Get a job like that?
Yeah, that's a good gig.
It is. For the money they pay, it is a real good gig.
Hook me up.
You consider yourself hooked.
All right.
There was just an ad in the paper, and, just went in. And you'd be amazed at the people they hire, too. Not speaking for myself, it's like, oh, they hired me. And then you go in, and it's like, oh, they hired these other people. So sometimes they'll hire anybody, but it's... interesting. Like I said, you'd be really amazed.
Well, are you allowed to just listen to the radio and smoke and stuff?
You cannot smoke or eat or drink in the cars, but as long
as... You couldn't test out the ashtray and the cup holder? That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to be the guy who tests out the reclining chair, the ashtray and the cup holder, and the horn. And I'd just sit in a parking lot and smoke and have like a cup of coffee and lean the chair back and take a nap, and then I'd ride the horn and yell like, "Hey, you kids!" They don't have a guy who does that, huh?
You'd be good at that.
Everybody
Kathy.
Does that, but you don't get any fun out of it.
What is your question, Kathy?
Well, the man that I've been seeing, you know how there's a pre-ejaculate, like a lubricant?
Right. Well, with sperm.
Right. And to my experience...
Now with sperm. That's how Drew's going to market it, by the way. Pre-ejaculate, now with sperm. It's going to be written right across the can that way.
There you go. It's just, it's like constant. And
he has leakage.
Like a leak, yes.
Some guys have that.
He's a plumber.
No, some guys have that. That's all right.
And I
take that as a compliment, by the way.
Does he take a long time to reach orgasm?
Yes, he does. And...
Well, he's always in the refractory period. He's constantly having an orgasm.
Well, no, it's the prostate's irritated, probably, and from the duration of all this.
He's only climaxed twice, and I've been dating him for like 8 or 9 months.
Is he on medication?
No, he won't.
You sure?
Wait a minute. He's only climaxed. And what's he do? Is he a food sampler?
No.
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 I don't know. I didn't know if you guys all ran in the same circles or how it went.
He drives cars in circles, too, I guess.
He's only climaxed twice?
Well, yeah. Uh-huh.
And how many times you guys had love?
Had love.
More than twice.
Oh, really?
A bunch, you know, but he gets erect easily, and then, like I said, there's the constant leakage, which isn't a real problem, but... Mm-hmm.
You're wondering if it affects his orgasmic function, though, right?
Well, I don't know if there's a connection between the two.
No, I don't think so. Not that I can imagine, but I don't think so.
Here's a guy who they could really, whose skills or talents they could utilize to check out the scotch guarding process on the passenger seat.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And that's a good job for him.
And the headliner, if he's so blessed. All right. Oh, boy, that would be a dream job for me just driving in circles. Denise.
Yes, hi.
You're 30.
Yes.
What's going on over there?
Well.
And by the way, how many, how many years do you got to build the Nissan Maxima to figure out, the thing goes all right? You know what I mean? I mean, they started building the Maxima in, like, 78.
Yeah.
It's been 20 years. Let's go ahead and assume the thing's fine. Give it a look-see at the factory, and then go sell it.
But maybe they're just driving their competitors around, see what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like one of those commercials.
Yeah.
All right. Denise?
Yes.
All right. What else going on there?
Sorry about that. I seem to be steadily losing my faith in men.
Reality's finally coming to bear.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have always been... guys have always been very attracted to me, and I don't have any trouble dating or anything like that. I've had several long-term relationships and all of that, but it just seems like no matter how many guys that I date and how many different types of people and how normal they seem in the beginning, and it's all wonderful, and they're really nice, and it just seems like, oh, this is great.
How do they end up?
I'm sorry?
How do they end up?
It's like it's a different person.
But how do they end up? What are they actually like?
They're like untrustworthy, or I just find myself being so disappointed.
What kind of guys are you attracted to?
Outgoing. Lots of activities. Yeah. They're well-rounded.
Dangerous?
No. No.
What kind of hobbies are they into?
I like guys that have a lot of friends and who, because it's...
So a guy's guy. You like guy's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Yeah, that's already a problem. But when they're untrustworthy, what kind of things do they do to you?
I'll catch them in a series of lies or... they will find out that they're still in love with their ex-girlfriend when they've sworn to me that that is not the case.
Right. All right, but listen.
Assorted infidelities.
Denise.
Yes.
Who's picking all these guys? Is your mom picking these guys for you?
No, no.
What?
I am picking these guys. But you have to understand, I'm a very...
I'm flabbergasted.
You're very what?
I'm not always flabbergasted. I'm like, well, you know, I kind of saw that coming. But I've always been a very intelligent person and a very... I'm usually such a good judge of characters. I mean, with my friends, I'm a very good judge of character.
With women.
My friends are wonderful.
With women.
No, actually, most of my friends are men.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few...
Right. Well, listen, who you're not physically attracted to. As anyone can judge anyone's character when they don't want to hump them. I mean, that's easy. When you want to hump them, then the penis gets in an argument with the brain. It's
what
like, hey, this person's a psychopath. Are you kidding? Look at that rack.
Denise,
shut up. I'll do the thinking.
Denise doesn't have a penis.
That's her problem. No. When you become sexually... I mean, one of the reasons you're attracted to these guys physically...
Is
there something in them?
Yeah,
and the reason why you're not attracted to your male friends who are just friends is because they don't have those qualities.
That piece.
So it's a catch-22. You got to date someone you're not attracted to. You really do.
Yeah, you do.
It's sad.
Actually, I don't go for the really handsome.
No, it's just attraction. That's the excuse, though. It's not about what the person looked like.
It's about your attraction to them.
It's the attraction that you have to them.
Oh, but that's so sad.
I know, but why do... Drew, let me give you a real interesting or easy example.
Should I sell myself short by
sell yourself short.
I'm not attracted to?
Dating,
I don't think so.
Listen, dating guys that don't bang your sister is not selling yourself short. Dating guys who don't get trapped in a hailstorm of lies 6 months into it is not selling yourself short.
This is the point. It's being more mature about your choices and really going for a higher ground in your relationship and not continuing to sell yourself short. Do people that you date, other people don't like them? Think you shouldn't date them, that kind of thing?
No.
Okay.
They don't say anything.
I mean, of course, the assorted irregular, they're like, what are you thinking?
Denise.
The short-term ones and
Denise.
What am I thinking?
Okay.
Contradiction.
But I suspect the other guys, the longer-term ones, have parts of them that are like the short-term guys, too. And this is where you're making...
Oh, everybody does. I mean, I'm not
Denise?
Expecting perfection.
Okay, then why'd you call? Then there's no problem.
It's just a huge long series.
Denise, I was talking to a jade Buddha in a head shop the other day, and it actually drunk in more advice than you do. It was an incense holder, I think, or maybe it was a bong. I couldn't find
were
the carb on
story?
It.
You were going to tell a story?
It was a bong.
Oh, here's what I was going to say. People, a very simple example of attraction is... you know, people that were raised by an alcoholic dad or girls that were raised by an alcoholic dad usually go on to marry a guy who coincidentally is an alcoholic.
Even though they may never have been drinking, they may swear, I'll never drink my whole life. And, oh, lo and behold, 5 years later, they're an alcoholic. People know it. They can sense it. That's what creates
the attraction. That's what attraction is. It's not about anything you think about.
Right. It's not about being intellectual. It's about instinctive, subconscious communications between people.
That's why, by the way, that's all that attraction is. Because there's oftentimes people that make more money, they stand up straighter, they're a little bit taller, and they drive a nicer car, and you're not into them as a woman, I would say, or as a male, as much as you're into this other person for one reason or another. That's what it is. It's really sad, but the part, that attraction part, is the scariest part of a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's the most dangerous part. And Denise, you are, it is pulling you like when Bugs Bunny would fall asleep and like something would smell good and the little, like genie fingers would pick him up and carry him toward the carrot. Yes, that's what's going on with you, Denise. All right, Carl. Are you attracted to me?
No.
See, that's very healthy. Very healthy. All right, you attracted to that fiddle you got there?
Yeah.
Oh, partially.
All right. I mean, platonically.
Platonic, yes.
He likes holding his wood.
True. Sniff the end of the fiddle. Make sure it's not been anywhere. No. Carl and Squeaky G are here, and they're going to be playing a little something live for us, right, when we come back?
Sure.
Okay. After this.
Hey, everybody on the floor, this is Ice-T. You're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Nobody moves, nobody gets hurt.
Hey, we haven't seen Ice-T in a while.
Yeah.
Have we seen him? Was he on the TV show?
Yep.
He was?
That was the infamous TV show, that one particular episode.
It's the one that MTV uses as an example of what we couldn't air.
Is it still on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Show's doing fine, but Ice is was not back. But we had him here.
Right after that. But you know what? We had these people from his TV show on our TV show, right? The female, the head of the squad.
Right, right. I was thinking of Coolio.
Who was that? Was that the...
I don't remember. Girl, don't go down this road. Anne's not going to be any help. She wasn't there. All right.
We had her because she was on the radio show.
Carl Stevenson are here. And Squeaky G, both from Forest for the Trees. And Drew, if you're going to go crazy, go out of the room. All right. Squeaky, see if you can make a sound of Drew thinking. No, it wasn't Catherine Bell.
Mia Corp.
Mia Corp. Ah, yes, Catherine Bell. That's my woman. But yeah, Mia Corp. Great looking. She's like Asian or something. Anyway, phone number for Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Forget about the fax number. And Carl and Squeaky are going to do another live number for us. Are you not?
We are.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to answer when someone says, "Are you not?" Is this one called something, or are you just going to?
It's called "An Ear Is Listening." Think about it from the perspective of a fawn deep in the forest listening to the forest.
Hold on. That's a deer, all you idiots out there. All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. A fawn is a deer. Yes, it is.
And the squirrel's beatbox.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Stevenson and Squeaky G. You know what I was thinking during that? I was thinking, you know, everyone's worried about having their jobs taken by a computer. Squeaky's taking a computer's job. That's one for the flesh and blood. You're actually doing the job that a machine was meant to do.
Well, if there's a way that I can get this to do what machines are doing now and making millions, rest assured, I'll be doing it.
And it sounds, there's nothing like the real thing. Even when you're doing something that is sort of a computer, you're used to hearing a computer synthesize, it sounds twice as good coming from flesh and blood. Hey, Carl.
Yes?
Play me a little bit of that same kind of riff again. Doesn't have to be the exact same one, but just something. I just want to try a little something. A little slower, little slower riff. If you have
hold
anything.
Hold it, my mind is blanking out here. Let me see.
Drew, you kill some time by talking about the periodic tables or something. Now, Squeaky, don't do any beatboxing. Sorry,
there you go.
I got off to the wrong start with the boom. I'm sorry, Carl. Go ahead. Just want to try a little experiment here. Go ahead.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, it's got to be slower. Got to be a slower rhythm.
Just slow
rhythm.
It down. Oh, just go a little bit slower.
Just slow it. Yeah, just drag it out.
Drag it out.
Just want to try something.
Halftime.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, close your eyes, Drew. Sherman's march to Atlanta was one of the bloodiest battles of the war thus far. The Merrimack had blockaded the harbor. The Monitor was there to greet it. After a hail of cannon fire... Drew, does that sound familiar at all?
Yes.
What is that?
I saw the Civil War series.
Yes. Ah,
surprise, he gets the golden Twinkie.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And with the squeak, with the cannon fire,
the reminiscent
and all that,
sounds.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I wish Squeak could just follow me around during the day, so like I could say like when I went like I was at the cleaners and I went like when we went to the airport, and they didn't let us onto the plane.
He could just do gunfire.
Yeah, I could say stuff like, I could say, I hauled ass to get here this morning. And could you do some, like, moving fast thing? And if we don't make this gig, they are going to kick my ass. And I swear to God, some heads are going to roll if I don't get on that effing plane. You know what I mean? Just to, like, I think people know what you're talking about, but when you really add the sound effect behind it, I think it really drives the point home.
You mean to the color man.
Yeah. Don't piss me off, by the way. Give me a little of that. Give me a I'll tell you, you would not like me when I'm pissed off.
Pissed off.
Just the gunfire guy.
No, just give me the Satan voice, I think.
The Satan voice?
Don't piss me off. You won't like me when I'm pissed off.
Don't you think we could have got onto that plane if we had Squeaky behind me?
No.
With like a bullhorn?
No.
No.
Nothing would have gotten us on that plane.
All right.
With a gun.
Leon, I think they got rules for that. Leon?
Force for the trees? Oh, man, you guys are like it's like I'm humbled before your presence. It's great. I love your music. I love how you like juxtapose, Celtic and classical and rap. It's just amazing work.
Thank you.
They're like Caltech meets Cal Jam.
Yeah.
Little 1977 reference there.
I said, no, it's like really like thank you very much. It's like it's just, I mean, it's like just way out there. It's like we appreciate what you're saying.
Did you have a question, Leon?
I had a question on one of their lyrics from Dream. Mm-hmm. It said Oedipus. Oedipus is bliss or something.
Oedipus.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oedipus is bliss. It just means that to realize how horrific things really are, kind of relieves the mind.
Oedipus Rex was a famous play by Sophocles about a guy who killed his father and married his mother.
Okay.
And it's the cornerstone of one of the theories of human neurosis, human psychological problems.
You get it now?
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for Carl.
Hey, you should bring Drew out on the road with you, by the way. You
to
guys could do the song, and then he could walk out during the breaks and, you know.
What he really said, broken down in the Bunnock style.
Carl, all right. Yes. On Loser, on, what is it, Meligold?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play the sitar?
Yes, I did.
How was you?
That was me.
Oh, you played? I asked you if you played any other instruments. Oh, you said you're playing the sitar. You're learning
sitar lessons.
I'm still taking lessons.
But how long ago was that you played the sitar?
About 5 years ago.
Well, that's enough with the lessons. If you played on a record five years ago.
I haven't been taking lessons all that time, though.
Oh, okay.
Were you guys, like, influenced any way by, like, Peter Gabriel or, like, you know, like the Beatles? Or what are your influences?
Mention Beatles, Carl. We'll talk all day.
I'm not influenced that much by the Beatles except for lately. I never even listened to them until I was about 22, 23.
Well, they're new stuff, so no.
But I was influenced by synthesists such as Wendy Carlos, Vangelis, Jean-Michel Jarre, and influenced by
the Ghetto Boys,
by like the Clash and old punk rock groups like Black Flag and others.
Hey, Drew, what was the name of that?
Devo.
Was there some synthesizer, some harpsichord or something played by some guy who was dressed up in a sort of Elizabethan garb that was real hot in the mid-70s? Remember any of that junk?
Sort of like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer kind of.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a synthesizer.
Yeah.
And what was the first synthesizer used? Is that the Boss Skaggs Lido Shuffle?
I don't know.
You know the song, Drew?
Who was that guy that did Frankenstein?
Edgar Winter.
Edgar Winter. Didn't he have weird outfits and stuff?
The first synthesizer was a theremin, I think. That thing that you put your hand next to and it goes...
But that didn't make it onto a... Do you remember, like, the first synthesizer, the first songs, the first groups that used synthesizers? I think the DeFranco family may have done.
Huh.
No. Carl, you know.
I don't know.
Beach Boys. What, Pet Sounds? Huh? All right, Sherry thinks she knows.
She's reading lips.
Oh, Good Vibrations? Really? I have to look
that. That was a theremin on that one.
Oh, it was? Mm-hmm. So it's the one you were talking about?
Yeah, it's really old.
All right, Drew?
Yeah?
Do you have any other tidbits which we can use to
pour
the audience?
We got to do calls.
All right, we're going to take some calls. All right. When we come back, we're going to do what, Drew?
Calls.
And more what?
Calls.
Okay.